Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Darren Kirkland Jr. is transferring from the Tennessee program. Surprised?
I'm surprised by the timing, because I would assume if he was going to leave, he would have announced earlier than this. He was injured, still rehabbing all throughout spring ball, so he didn't really play. Look, I'm never surprised when there's a new coaching staff taking over that's doing something completely different when guys decide they don't want to be there. Little bit surprised that it's Darren Kirkland Jr., who I think Tennessee and a lot of people were expecting to be one of the leaders of that defense and the leaders of this team. But, you know, reading VolQuest, and we're going to have Austin Price on to talk about it, looks like maybe there's a bit of a disconnect between the new coaching staff and him. He was really close with Tommy Thigpen, who's now at North Carolina. North Carolina probably the odds-on favorite to land him in a grad transfer scenario at this point to go reunite with Tommy Thigpen. And Tennessee's going from a 4-3 to a 3-4. So maybe he didn't like his fit as an interior linebacker in that 3-4 system under Jeremy Pruitt.
Didn't like the fit, and maybe had a lot of his friends leave the program as well.
Yeah, so that class that was ranked, he was part of a, I think 2015 was the class, ranked fourth in the country. 10 of the 30 players remain from that class. So a lot of his teammates that he knows are gone. Look, I don't blame the kid. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like I agree with Doug Matthews on this. If you've put in the work in the classroom and you've shown up for practice, you've done everything asked of you. I mean, the guy's been hurt twice too.
Yeah, I mean, he played through an injury his freshman year.
Yeah.
He got hurt in the Virginia Tech game in Bristol.
And then he got hurt in preseason.
In the preseason last year.
And was out for the year.
And he's had at least two surgeries that I know of.
Yeah, I mean, we'll never know how good he could have been at Tennessee because he was, I mean, he always had a lot of promise. But because of the injuries, we're just never going to know. But again, look, Tennessee's going to take advantage of this with some grad transfers. We've already seen it. Keller Crist, possibly Brandon Kennedy, the offensive lineman from Vanderbilt. And you're also going to be negatively impacted by this. And Darren Kirkland Jr. is an example of that. So I know that Jeremy Pruitt spoke in Kingsport last night as part of the Big Orange Caravan, and he even almost foreshadowing what was going to happen with the news. He said, I'm all for grad transfers coming to Tennessee if that's what they want to do, and I'm all for grad transfers leaving Tennessee if that's what a kid decides to do. If they've done the work and they feel like it's not the best situation for them, we'll talk to them, talk about it, but they are then free to go wherever they want. And I think he said he's not going to put any restrictions on where they want to go, even if Tennessee's playing them at that point. That's why this whole, I understand the principle of it if you're Nick Saban, that he doesn't want to see total free agency with his guys, but this guy was not going to see the field for you. He is a reserve veteran offensive lineman that wants to go play with a guy that he knows in Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee. And you're going to put an appeal to the SEC?
And a guy that Saban knows well, too.
Right. I think Jeremy Pruitt's tact with this is 100% correct, because he's a guy who transferred at one point in his career. He is not going to sit there and be stubborn with a guy and be like, no, you cannot go to Georgia, Florida, or Alabama. He's going to let guys go. And I think that's the right move in today's college football. Now, I understand if a guy's there for a semester or a year and he wants to transfer, he shouldn't go and transfer somewhere that you're playing every year right away. I'm totally for stopping that. But if a guy's graduated and he's got 2 years left of eligibility because either he's not seeing
he's done everything asked
or he doesn't get along with the coaches, yeah, or doesn't like the system or whatever, or his girlfriend moved to another, I don't care what the reason is. You should be allowed to go at that point. That's on the kid to make that decision. So I think Jeremy Pruitt's doing the right thing to not put a block up on this, but also to know that programs like Tennessee, you're going to be both the beneficiary of this and you're going to lose some guys because this, and you're probably going to lose some good players too. You know, like a Darren Kirkland Jr. This isn't a guy who's a reserve player who wasn't going to see the field that decided to go and have opportunity somewhere else. This is a guy who's probably going to be a starter for Tennessee. So it's going to both help you and hurt you.
Yeah, I couldn't help last night when I saw it, thinking about the injuries that he's either played through or had to rehab from. And, you know, once you start having surgeries, the old story goes, as an athlete, you never really stop in the off season of having procedures done just for cleanup and different things. So here's hoping wherever he lands, he can stay healthy.
Well, now who's going to be huge for Tennessee? Daniel Betulli was already a leader in that as an interior linebacker in the 3-4. Will Ignat has to step up. Corte Sapp has to step up. And J.J. Peterson, the 5-star freshman. Your time is now. I don't think there's any redshirt possibilities for some freshman linebackers and defensive players, for that matter, for this Tennessee team. They're going to have to find a way to get some talented freshmen on the field quickly if they're going to have any chance in the SEC.
J.J. Peterson has to be ready to go.
Got to be ready. Got to be ready. You got a summer and a fall camp to get a talent like J.J. Peterson ready to go in the middle.
Is Jeremy Pruitt ready to turn this program around? That's what we're going to get into this hour.
Well, and the formula's out there. Nick Saban has the formula. He's got the secret concoction that you can sprinkle on a program, and with time and with this process is a word that those guys love to use. With this process and the right fit of a program, you can do it. You can turn your program into a machine. Nick Saban's done it at Bama. Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban disciple, did it at Florida State. Kirby Smart is in the process of doing it right now at Georgia. The question is this. Can Jeremy Pruitt accomplish this at Tennessee? Is Tennessee one of those programs where you can step in and with the right formula and the right guy? If Jeremy Pruitt is in fact that right guy, you may say he's not, which is fine, acceptable answer. But if he knows the formula, which he does, can he institute that formula, that process, and have some of the same effects that Florida State, Georgia, Alabama's had? Or is Tennessee just simply not in the same class as those three programs, and you don't have the same amount of opportunity there? 615-737-1045, 737-1045.
Is Tennessee in the vicinity of those programs in terms of potential and resources?
Resources. We're not saying they're in the vicinity of them in terms of players wins and all that. They're not even close.
Is Pruitt set up to do those things at Tennessee? That's the question.
Is Tennessee one of those jobs nationally?
We invite people to disagree, or
yes,
you don't have to go one way or the other here.
Some people may think that we're crazy for even posing this question, which I think you're crazy if you think that. But we'll get into our answers to this.
Yep.
Essentially, is Tennessee one of those programs that if you took a Saban disciple and you ran through that formula, you could have not equal success as Alabama and Nick Saban, because there's only one Nick Saban? Can Jeremy Pruitt be Kirby Smart or Jimbo Fisher? What they've done at Georgia and Florida State, is it possible to do that with Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee?
Basically, is Tennessee in the vicinity of those programs in terms of potential and resources? We're not necessarily looking to the next 8 months here. We're looking at, not even long term, but short term future over the next 2, 3, 4 years. 615-737-1045, our number.
Well, and we're also throwing out there, there's only one Nick Saban. You know, we're saying Nick Saban's system, can it be replicated? I don't think we're asking the question, can Jeremy Pruitt go and win 5 national titles?
Yeah, you're right. That's not what we're asking.
Yeah, we're asking, just like Kirby Smart learned the system, just like Jimbo Fisher learned the system, they were able to do big things. Kirby Smart is doing huge things. Jimbo Fisher did big things at Florida State. Florida State, Georgia, are they in the same ballpark as Tennessee? That's sort of the way I'm looking at this. And is Jeremy Pruitt, in your mind, in the same ballpark as Kirby Smart and Jimbo Fisher in terms of coaching acumen? 615-737-1045, 737-1045. Hutton, I thought I'd have a strong opinion on this one way or the other, and I'm shocked that I really don't. And it's for this reason, and I'm trying to weigh the good and the bad with this Tennessee job. Clearly, there's some mental baggage right now over the course of the last 10 years. And having as many coaches as Tennessee's had over those 10 years will lead to some mental baggage. There's leftover baggage with this roster. I think that this roster has some good talent. I think they also have a lot of guys who have learned how to quit over the course of a game. And that's not a good hurdle for Jeremy Pruitt to initially have to clear. But he's going to have to do that. Now, let's look at Tennessee versus Florida State, for instance. If I say Florida State in the ACC, everyone out there is immediately going to say they should win the ACC or be in contention every year. That is a program with their resources, where they're located. Florida State should always be good in the ACC. Now, they have Clemson and NC State within their division. They're part of the ACC. Clemson's always going to be good, too. So if I'm looking at that division in the ACC, I'm thinking, okay, it's Florida State and Clemson. And then you have some other teams who every two or three years could, you know, pose a challenge. But really, let's be honest, it's Clemson and Florida State. Those are the two programs everyone's going to look to every year. Now look at Tennessee's situation in the SEC East. I believe when all things are equal and all these programs have good coaches in place, it should be Georgia, Florida, Tennessee in some order, and then everyone else. Now, Jeremy Pruitt's got to get over Vanderbilt, who Tennessee now can't beat. He's got to get past Kentucky, a team they lost to last year. He's got to get past Missouri, a team that rocked Tennessee a year ago. So there's a lot of other hurdles. South Carolina under Will Muschamp is now a little bit better. But again, when all things are equal, and if I gave a good coach, good solid coach to every program in the SEC, I think I'm putting Florida, Georgia, Tennessee in the same group of a round robin of programs that should compete for the East.
And based on SEC revenues, that's the way it stacks up in the SEC East.
Yes.
There are the haves and the have-nots, and Tennessee, which came out earlier this month, number one in gross revenue, $110.7 million.
Well, and that's, yeah.
That's ahead of Alabama. It's ahead of Georgia.
Yeah.
It's ahead of Auburn. I mean, they're number one in the conference. And when it comes to the SEC East, it's Tennessee, Georgia, Florida in that order. You then have to drop down to South Carolina at 10 with gross revenue of $60 million.
So in terms of competition, I think Tennessee is close to Florida State, but Florida State really only has one big boy in their division they have to worry about, and that's Clemson. Tennessee's got two. Florida and Georgia should be good, especially now with Dan Mullen at Florida. They're going to be just fine. Those are two big boys to contend with. So Tennessee's at a bit of a disadvantage there in terms of competition. Georgia has the same competition with the exception of they play Auburn every year in the West, who's typically going to be really good. Tennessee plays Alabama every year, who's always great. Probably the greatest team in the country, and they're always going to have to play Alabama. So I would give a check mark to Florida State and Georgia in terms of competition, but Tennessee's not that far off from them. It's not like their schedule is that much tougher than those teams. Now, recruiting base, I think, is where this gets tricky. Kirby Smart is going to dominate at Georgia with just Georgia kids if he wants. There's enough players there where he can do that. Jimbo Fisher, when he was at Florida State, and now Willie Taggart also, you can dominate at Florida State with just Florida kids if you want. Tennessee's never going to dominate in the SEC with just Tennessee kids. And if you look at Jeremy Pruitt's philosophy now in recruiting, I don't think he thinks that highly of Tennessee kids, to be quite honest with you. With the exception of a few, an exception of the city of Memphis, which Butch Jones would not touch with a 10-foot pole, you would never find him in Shelby County. Guess where Pruitt and his staff are constantly? Memphis. He believes players are in Memphis and not everywhere else. Now, he's spot recruiting some mid-state guys who are really good that everyone in the SEC is recruiting. He's not really recruiting anyone in East Tennessee. But he feels Memphis is where it's at in Tennessee. Here's where it gets tricky for the Vols and if he's going to be able to replicate this. They're already landing guys out of the state of Georgia. You can be great at Tennessee by getting half your class from Georgia if you can do that. But here's the issue. Are you really going to expect to beat Georgia head-to-head for Georgia kids? Because that's the ballpark that Jeremy Pruitt's got to be in if he's going to compete. He's got to go and get 4- and 5-star guys from Georgia consistently, and he's got to beat out Alabama and Georgia for those guys. That's where it gets tough, and that's the one part of this question, Hutton, that clouds it for me where I don't know if I can definitively say it's even possible for Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee to be either Kirby Smart at Georgia or Jimbo Fisher at Florida State.
Well, here's why I think there is reason for optimism. Because his first year is going to be, it's not going to be very good. Unless he has some magical solution on the offensive line, it's going to be a bumpy ride.
And unless he has a lot of guys who got a lot better from last year.
Right.
You know, the X factor of who's going to improve from last year.
But I think if you're a new head coach going into a program and you know what you need and you know the type of player you want to fit your system, you're already ahead of the game. And I think Pruitt fits that. A lot of first-year coaches don't know the answer to that question. And I think even if they say they do, a lot of them are lying about it. Jeremy Pruitt, I think the one big advantage, Chad, that he has over the last few head coaches at the University of Tennessee, he knows the ingredients that he needs for his system. Butch Jones could recruit, but did he actually recruit a position consistently the same way? You know, the different body types on the offensive line, or at wide receiver, or at linebacker, or in the secondary. There was no specific mold for exactly what he was looking for, other than how many stars does that guy have beside his name? And when it comes to Jeremy Pruitt so far, I think he is able to get past the hardest part of the job, which is being able to identify the exact type of player you need and only taking that exact type of player regardless of circumstance. He didn't feel the need to come in for whatever reason and just take whoever was wanting to come to Tennessee out of the state of Tennessee. He only wants dudes that fits his mold. And
Butch Jones also would take a lot of guys early that were questionable and then in that same class try to recruit over them. Jeremy Pruitt doesn't do that. He's only going after dudes he really wants.
Right.
He's not trying to recruit a lower level and then, oh, we'll take this commitment now from an in-state kid and then eventually try to replace them as the process goes on. No, he's only going after this select few number of studs.
You know, and maybe that's part of what Butch was doing, where there's a four-star athlete who wants to come to Tennessee, doesn't necessarily fit within with what or the direction you're headed offensively or defensively, but we're taking him because he's a great athlete. I think Pruitt's the opposite of that. Does he fit the system itself? And if he doesn't, we're not interested. And I think that comes down to evaluation of talent and projection of talent to the next level. And I think Pruitt's been able to do that. You know, that's where he cut his teeth as an assistant. And so far, That's the path he's on at Tennessee. Now, I'm not here saying that the players that he's bringing in are going to be have a great batting average or they're going to pan out better than the recruits that Butch Jones brought in. I'm just saying it's a different sight line for Jeremy Pruitt in recruiting than it was for Butch Jones.
And if we look at the pattern of Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Jimbo Fisher, we will know in year two if Jeremy Pruitt's going to work out. This is not a three-year plan. This is Jeremy Pruitt wants to win in year one. He's not conceding anything. We're going to know next year. We're going to know as that season's going on, how they're performing on the field, how many games they're winning, who they're beating, and how they're performing in recruiting also. We're going to know if Jeremy Pruitt has it figured out, because while I'm confident Jeremy Pruitt has what it takes to get past those programs I mentioned, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Missouri, if he's going to be Jimbo Fisher, Kirby Smart, or the great Nick Saban, he's going to have to be every bit as good as Georgia and Florida, if not better, consistently. And that's where the real challenge comes in. Boiler Bob on Twitter says, will you guys please just say Pruitt, not always Jeremy Pruitt? It's hard to listen to. Here's what we're going to do on this show. We're not going to call coaches by their first name.
No.
When we don't know them well. We're not going to be that informal. It's going to be coach, or it's going to be their full name. And occasionally, when we want to shorten it, it's going to be Pruitt, or it's going to be Vrabel. That's Vrabel. Or it's going to be another coach's last name. That is all. Thank you. And it's not that hard to sit and listen through the name Jeremy. This is like people get mad if we get on
or
someone.
Or Jeremy.
Yeah. Or Jeremy.
Jeremy
or
Pruitt.
Jeremy Pruitt.
As he would
say. In fact,
say.
Let's change that. It's now Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, come on. Come on now.
Go to the phone. 615-737-1045, our number. Jamie will lead us off. What's up, Jamie?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, man.
I do believe he will. He can have the success there, but I don't think he has the talent coming in that Saban and Smart had going in, because Shula actually had some talent there. I think probably by year three there would be a significant difference.
See, I don't think it's going to take 3 years. I think we're going to know by year two. And again, I'm going by Nick Saban. I'm going by Kirby Smart and Jimbo Fisher. All those guys had breakthroughs in year two. All of them.
But
and there's some, there's,
in year two, he's likely to have a brand new quarterback again. Right?
Didn't Saban also?
But I'm saying if you have the transfer come in, the offensive line is not good.
Well, it depends on who wins the job. Keller Christ has 1 year of eligibility. If Jarrett Garantano beats him out, then he's still your quarterback next year.
I realize Jarrett Garantano has been there, but there's a reason why Christ wanted to come to Tennessee and why there's chatter about him being the starter.
Yes.
Right? I mean.
Yeah, but we don't know that yet. I mean, the guy hasn't practiced once for Tennessee. I think there's a good chance that he's the starter. But here's my point. I'm not saying they have to go to the SEC championship game or go to a national championship game like Kirby Smart did.
They need to win half of their SEC games.
Yeah, like I think we're going to know because there's going to be a sizable uptick in year two. Whatever happens this year, let's say Tennessee goes 6-6. I think most Tennessee fans say that's a pretty successful season with this schedule. Get to a bowl game. Hold on to some of these recruits. Recruit better as the year goes on. Give them something to hope for in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And show them some competition in big games. That would be enough for Tennessee fans this year. Well, but I think a year from now, 8-4, and you continue recruiting well in Georgia and places you need to recruit, I think that at that point we know, hey, Jeremy Pruitt's a pretty good head coach. And it looks like he's going to get it done at Tennessee.
But to Jamie's point, it's not like Pruitt inherits the quarterback situation and the offensive line and the offensive talent that Kirby Smart inherited at Georgia.
Kirby Smart underperformed in year one, quite honestly. And most people thought that. He was not in trouble, but there were a lot of questions about him going into year two because he inherited a very, very talented team with a lot of NFL guys on it that Mark Richt was recruiting. Now, Butch Jones has recruited pretty well. He has not developed to the level of Mark Richt. So, yes, Jeremy Pruitt is inheriting a worse roster, but it's varying degrees of relativity with this. What's relative to Tennessee? It's not getting to a national championship in year two. It's competing with the big boys in their schedule and getting to 8-4. Maybe a 7-5 with a couple of close misses against really good teams on the schedule. But here's what I want to guard against, because this is like the battered ball syndrome again. This is what Butch Jones just drove. It's like driving a spike into the brain of Tennessee fans. We're not going to, this is a 4-year process. You know, we're not going to really know anything until year four when I get all my guys in and everything's in place. We always pointed to 2016. Butch Jones had 2013. He had 2014. He had 2015. By 2015, they were 9-4. You felt really good about 2016. They were the big time favorites to win the East. Not giving Jeremy Pruitt 4 years. I'm not saying fire the guy if he goes 7-5 a year from now, but we're going to know a lot by year two. This is not a 4-year process. We've seen great coaches turn things around quickly. And while I think Tennessee is in a bad spot right now, I don't think it's Derek Dooley bad when Butch Jones took over. From a roster standpoint, I think there are some very talented players in the roster. There's not enough of them. At the highest level, I think Tennessee has some very talented guys.
But
there's just not enough of those players right now.
Do those players fit what he wants to do? Because
clearly not.
He's taking an approach in recruiting where he's only going after guys that he needs to fit his schemes, both defensively and with what he wants to do on offense. So he inherits what I would call a melting pot of talent. Because Butch Jones was all over the board with the type of player he wanted.
Yeah, he just took guys and tried to put them in.
So I think some of those guys will fit, some of them will not.
Well, here's the problem. He's not lying when he says guys quit in the orange and white game, when he says that. This is something he said a lot of times after practice. We have to learn how to compete. He said repeatedly, talent is not an issue with this roster. He says that he sees plenty of talent. The issue is learning how to compete. Learning how to play through a play when it gets tough. Learning how to continue competing and not hang your head at the first sign of something going wrong. And that is an issue mentally with this Tennessee team after last year, after going 0-8 in the SEC. That's something and good coaching can change that. I'm a firm believer that you can change the mindset of players if the coaching is good enough. And I believe that that's job number one with this team, to get them to understand that, hey, if you're losing a game, you got to keep playing. We're not ever going to quit here. We're not ever going to think, oh, well, it's 14-0. Now it's time to go ahead and get ready for next week. Because that's what I see on Tennessee players' faces. over the course of a game with a lot of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And that's why Jeremy Pruitt continually says that's been an issue. JM on Twitter says, I think we should compare Pruitt's first year to Lane Kiffin's first year at Tennessee. If he goes 7-6 and competes with Alabama and Georgia, this year would be a success. Lane Kiffin dominated Georgia in his 1 year at Tennessee in the game at home, and only because of an armpit block by Terrence Cody did he not win in Tuscaloosa at Alabama. That's not going to happen in year one for Jeremy Pruitt, and Lane Kiffin inherited a heck of a lot more than Jeremy Pruitt's getting. He had two first-round picks on defense, Dan Williams and Eric Berry. He had Montario Hardesty on offense. That was a pretty – Luke Stocker. That was a
Jonathan Crompton.
Yes. Our favorite long-haired Canadian quarterback, Jonathan Crompton. Montreal Alouette.
Let me pose this to you.
Former Montreal.
Because you're saying you're not willing – you may be willing. You're not expecting to have to wait 4 years to determine anything on Pruitt.
I think we'll know in the middle of year two.
Do you think, though, that the fan base and the patience level, while it's never going to be high, it's higher – with Pruitt because Philip Fulmer is there, and that's Philip Fulmer's hire?
That's a great question. I didn't think of it that way. I think the patience level is lower in terms of a new coach. There's not the backflip mentality from this fan base right now with Jeremy Pruitt.
No, but
people are very guarded. It's much more of a wait and see because they've jumped all in the past, and they're a little bit more hesitant to jump all in.
Hypothetical. Let's say John Curry hired Dave Doran. Patience level for him versus patience level with Fulmer and Pruitt.
Higher because Philip Fulmer is going to be the best mouthpiece for Jeremy Pruitt in his hire. Philip Fulmer is going to have a way to come and calm people when he does interviews, when things are going rough. I mean, he's going to, hey, I remember back in 1994 when I, you know, lost this game and that. I mean, he's going to be able to stir the memory banks of Tennessee fans to calm them down.
He's the opposite of Butch Jones, where he's not going to, Pruitt, I'm speaking of, is not going to have to fish for excuses is the wrong word. Catchphrases. That's what I'm looking for. He's not going to have to find the catchphrase after the post-game locker room speech where he comes to the media and then delivers the address to the media that he just gave the team and speaks to the fan base. Like, that's not going to be Jeremy Pruitt at all. He's going to shoot everyone straight, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
Or he's going to say very little at all and storm off.
And that part is refreshing. And I don't mind the saying little and storming off at this point. I mean, if...
Well, again, it's the opposite of what you had. Which,
right.
You know what I mean? So, but does that help his cause, the fact that he's just a ball coach? And that's all he really wants to be. He doesn't like the other fluff that goes along with the job that, by the way, he took the job and was hired to do. So a lot of the complaining from him, he was on 3HL saying he, you know, didn't know all the details of having to do certain head coaching jobs. Sorry, man, that's the job of a college football head coach in the SEC.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Yeah. And look, you can get away with not doing as much. Nick Saban doesn't do much that he doesn't want to because, I mean, he wants to coach and recruit. That's essentially what he does. And that's the benefit you get if you win. But look, I don't mind. Let me put it this way. In terms of the coaching aspect of this, I would rather have a coach who gets mad and storms off if it's over then in an interview than a coach who smiles, bears through it, politely answers your question, and then thinks about it and goes and looks at Twitter for 45 minutes.
Yes.
And
yes,
that was Butch Jones.
That's a great point.
Butch Jones was in his own head at all times about what people were thinking and saying about him. And Jeremy Pruitt, I just don't think is that guy. He's going to get mad at a question, probably cut the interview short, or cut the press conference short, and he's going to go and watch film. That's going to be his outlet for
that. And while it's different to the point where it's not great for the Knoxville media, fans are not going to hear the same length of answer, or the coach's show is maybe won't be as entertaining with your calls whenever you call in and ask the coach a question. I kind of like it. I mean, I'll admit, I like his style so far.
I don't think the guy who didn't know what asparagus was is spending a whole lot of time on social media.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yes, it's a great thing. And I'll say this, too, and I found this to be the case for the most part on this show. Even with the most difficult of guests, with the exception of a few, if you ask good questions, they give you good answers.
If you are prepared, you'll get good answers.
We had a great interview with Jeremy Pruitt. I had no issues with any of the answers Jeremy Pruitt gave us. I thought he was candid. I thought he was honest. I thought he gave some thought to each question we asked. And I thought that we gave some thought to the questions that we asked him in that interview, and maybe that's part of it.
And again, I'm not complaining about it at all. I'm just I'm listening to him give answers where he's at the recruiting thing, and he's like, I don't know. Now, he's looking around saying, I don't really, you know, I need to be here, but I'd rather be watching film. Well, part of being the head coach at Tennessee is doing those sorts of things.
And that's the part of the job that Philip Fulmer can help him with. He can help deflect some of that because he can do some of it. Also, Philip Fulmer needs to explain to him something I was really good at when I was here, and it helped me. And it will help if you get better at it.
If you want to be a ball coach, just be John Chavis. It's okay to be the chief.
Yeah, you can go be a defensive coordinator again.
Yeah. 615-737-1045, our number. Let's go to Scott next up. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hope you guys have a happy Memorial Day weekend.
Same to you, Scott.
Same to you, Scott. Thanks.
Hey, I want to say real quick, I didn't tell Reed I was going to do this. I'm not going too sideways. But y'all, Double J yesterday, I tried to call in just to do a bow down. I mean, it was such a great – that was an awesome idea doing that. And he is awesome. So,
well, he was great. Stay tuned. We're going to have more of those throughout the summer.
Yeah, that's a great thing you guys have got going on. I think he can be successful. I think he can exceed expectations. It's going to be tricky, though. I think, you know, with the fragile mental state of our players, which is what everybody assumes that we have, is fragile mental state from years past, what they've had to endure, I think he's going to have to maybe – you know, it'll be more encouraging, but he won't be able to blame them through the media. I think, you know, where Saban got away with doing that a lot and chastising them through the media, he may have to be a little more delicate with
that. Well, here's where I disagree, Scott, because if there's a player on that roster that needs to be treated delicately, he needs to leave with Darren Kirkland Jr. And that's what Jeremy Pruitt realizes. He's only going to want guys that need that. And a perfect example of this is right there in Knoxville. Rick Barnes is as brutal with his players as any coach in America. And guess what Admiral Schofield says about that? If we needed praise all the time, we wouldn't be here playing for Coach Barnes. We're not the type of players that need praise all the time. Tennessee doesn't need those players that you need to be delicate with anymore. And I'm glad that Jeremy Pruitt is weeding some of them out if they have a problem with it.
Am I still owner of the cutoff button?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I agree with you 100%. I'm not saying powder puff them. You know what I'm saying? If it wears on into the year, maybe taper it off a little bit. But listen, hey, I agree. You guys, he is coming now to win, and that's what I love with the graduate transfers. And I love that he's open on both ends of it. I love that he's transparent with that.
I do too.
Listen, I think he's going to be great, guys. I think he's going to do well. And the difference between him and the previous coaching staffs that we've had after Fulmer, he has cut his teeth in this area, in the SEC, all through the South. I mean, that's where he's raised. That's what he's used to. It's just a part of his fiber. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Scott. And look, it comes down to winning and losing. We mentioned at the end of this discussion about the extracurriculars with the job. It comes down to wins and losses for Jeremy Pruitt, and he knows that.
And Jeremy Pruitt right now just doesn't see how the Big Orange Caravan is going to help him win or lose games.
Well, that big picture, he's right.
Well, but here's where I would caution against that approach if I were him. You can't then not care about the Big Orange Caravan and also complain about 50,000 people at your spring game because it wasn't 100,000.
That's another good point.